right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio in Southern Michigan. Everyone on the show today, I've got YouTube Tweaks Kids Video. The FCC greenlights $20 billion rural broadband. Let's talk science fiction novels. And the FCC finally orders ISPs to collect accurate broadband data through the United States. I want to welcome you to episode 1386 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, August 1st. This show is sponsored by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, good warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Subscribe to the show when you're on the website. There's lots of ways to do that. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, you name it, Spotify. All those links are right there in the right-hand column of the website. Get subscribed to our newsletter as well. You'll find that link a little bit further down on the website. You will get an email with the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Of course, last show, I forgot. But anyway, get subscribed to the newsletter. And for those of you that are longtime listeners of the show, thank you for being here. We are on the clock, folks. I think we have an install schedule to be back up with video in the new studio and finalizing details with Audimute, and it's we were going to try for next week, but I thought we're not quite ready from a design standpoint and in verifying some stuff. So I'm expecting 23rd, 24th, 25th of August, we're going to have the studio design completed. We will be construction complete, and then all I will have to do is get things hooked up. So I'm really hoping that that week of the 26th, we are back video here in the studio, although I have crazy travel schedule in and around that time, so we'll see what happens, but we're going to be really, really close. But again, welcome to the show. Lots to talk about tonight. If you're brand new, you can watch this show listen to the show over at blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or ask to be part of our Slack team at geeknews.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook as well. That email address to send an email again is geeknews@gmail.com and reach out to me on Twitter. I'm a little punchy tonight, and I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But hey, partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, is GNC Week in Review, done by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor by Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my team, The New Media Show, hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and The Podcast Legend Show. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is supported and sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can find all my deals, again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a $499.com, whether it be an economy or managed WordPress hosting site, which starts at simply $1 a month for the first 12 months, and get this, includes a free domain name. This is a great value, great way to get online, If you're a business owner, you can use the website builder product, get 30 days free there. And if you're just shopping for other online products and services that GoDaddy has, you can always, always use my 30% discount code. That is a mega deal that's not available anywhere else. Grab that 30% code on new products and purchases. That use those codes at checkout. Use the best one to save you the most money. We want you to get up and running with GoDaddy. I actually got some news today. GoDaddy has a new CEO. Their previous CEO stepped down for health reasons. So I have a link to that in the show notes tonight. But definitely, we want you to continue to support the sponsor. Share my codes with family, friends, people that you know, coworkers. Definitely link to my page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That really helps me in the long run and keeping the page relevant. And of course, feel free to tweet my codes as well and use them yourself. So definitely check out all my deals again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor, the longest of longest time sponsors here at Geek News Central. All right, so let me get you all caught up. I'm be honest with you, I'm a little punchy. From the show I did in Columbus on Monday, I got the show published about 8:30, 9 o'clock, got to bed maybe an hour, hour and a half later. Alarm clock went off at ridiculous, like 3:30 or 3:15 in the morning. I was at the airport, checked in, waiting for my flight by 4:30, boarded a little after like 5:30, I think, and then got into New York City, LaGuardia Airport at about 8 a.m., caught a $61 Uber to, I think, went down to 8th Street, met Jeff Hines, my CRO, and we hung out at a co-working space called BetaWorks for most of the day. Then we had a couple of meetings and then a major meeting in late in the afternoon, the main purpose of me being in New York City for the day. Those meetings went great, but it was basically an in and out, and got done with the primary meeting, was an Uber heading back towards LaGuardia by about 4:30, made good time, got into LaGuardia about 5:15, 45 minutes from like 12th Street all the way up. So it was good, I mean, really, really good time. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a 6 o'clock flight. Maybe I can get out early because my original scheduled flight was at 8. So rolled in, hit the gate where that was, and it was delayed. And I walked up to the Delta gal, I said, hey, can I get on the standby list? And she goes, it's a $75 charge fee to change flights. I'm like, what? United, if there's a flight going the same way on the same day, you can just go up and ask to be on standby, and they'll put you on it if there's room. And I said, well, are there any seats? And she looked at it, and like 3 hours earlier, there had been like 20 seats. And I'm like, she goes, nope, we're full. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I walked over to the terminal I was originally flying out of, C Terminal there at LaGuardia, and got some food, had a beer, relaxed, went to my gate, and my flight was delayed, and delayed, and delayed, and delayed, and delayed, and I got into, finally got back into Columbus about midnight, making my day about a 20-hour day. Did I get to sleep in a little bit on Wednesday morning because we were having a company fun day, but I had phone calls scheduled already at 8, so I was up by 7:30 on the phone, got dressed, went into the office, had our company fun day yesterday, today, this morning in the office earlier, meetings, emails, phone calls, and at 3:15, I walked out of the office, got in my car, and drove the 3 hours and 15 minutes to the studio. So I've been back here in the studio in southern Michigan for about an hour. I grabbed some dinner and got the show prep ready, and here we are. So it's it's like I feel like a total ping pong ball at this point. But I must apologize. On Monday, we had a little bit of a technical difficulties in publishing the show. There was an issue with our latest release of the PowerPress podcasting plugin. Caused me some issues. The show got out, I believe, on time, but just the email and all the hubbub, I kind of lost track and didn't send it out. So anyway, back here, two shows next week with in the studio here in Michigan. Lots of work to be done. Lots. I got some furniture that has been delivered, a bookcase, number of things. So I'm looking forward to being busy over the weekend. I have a very full schedule tomorrow as well. But basically, I've got about, a week from tomorrow, a week from Saturday. Well, it would be on Saturday the 10th. I leave to go down to Orlando for Podcast Movement. So there is not going to be any shows on the 12th or 15th of August. I'm going to take that week off. And then I'll be back with you the following week. The 19th, the extra show will probably be down in Columbus again. But anyway, that's what's going on here. I'm very excited to be back in the studio and having an extended time here and not having additional travel. So I hope you're along for the ride and definitely appreciate you allowing me to have a little extra time to chit-chat with you today. But let's get into the stack. Kirk found some stuff. I found some stuff. And but anyway, YouTube has tweaked kids' videos algorithm to favor quality content. Now, anytime YouTube makes a tweak like this, where they prioritize quality content, it can cause YouTube channels that were getting massive revenue from massive views to plummet. And they some folks have been really affected. And it goes back, every time I hear about these stories about riches to rags or rags to riches because YouTube has changed something, one says, and my opinion has always been that creators have little control over anything that's on some third-party website. You know, I will stick to my guns for a very long time that Geek News Central and geeknewscentral.com continues to be my most valuable asset. And that in itself is because I control the destiny of the website. I make changes to content creation. I make changes to my show, which can affect sponsorships and so forth. I've been very, very fortunate to have GoDaddy as a sponsor of this show for so many years. It's really remarkable in the space. And I don't take that, lightly, you know. And at the same time, here you've got folks that really have no control over monetization. And some channels are going to win. And some channels are going to be lose massive amounts of viewership. And YouTube made a statement saying, we make hundreds of changes every year to make it easier for people to find what they want to watch on YouTube. We recently made one such change that improves the ability for users to find quality family content. And we know that Google's massive video services reaches 2 billion users a month. And young people is a kid-heavy audience. And if you have kids with tablets and you're not monitoring what they're watching, look what they're looking at on YouTube. Because kids are doing hours and hours and hours of YouTube content on a weekly basis. So interesting move by YouTube. I'm surely glad that I do not have that my livelihood is not dependent upon a YouTube tweak. Now, Google search, that's a whole different ballgame. But anyway, that's where we're at. Hey, the FCC, we talked a little bit about this already, but the FCC has greenlighted $20 billion in rural broadband subsidy auction. The Republican-led Federal Communications Commission voted to adopt a new mechanism for distributing subsidies to rural broadband providers. But the Democrats on the committee want to see better data from a new broadband mapping effort first. And at the agency's August meeting, they voted on two related items the commissioners say will help close the digital divide. First, the five-member commission unanimously voted to distribute more than $20 billion of the Universal Service Fund over the next decade. It also adopted a very long-awaited proposal to get more detailed information from broadband providers of where they offer service in order to improve the agency's coverage map. Now, this is big. This change of them requiring ISPs to say exactly where they offer broadband is such a big change that what has happened in the past is that the ISPs have given, like they can pick an area and say, oh, we provide broadband service to this area. The current broadband mapping system has serious limitations. Data collection program requires ISPs report by census block, and this lets an ISP count an entire census block area as served, even if it can just serve one home in the census block. There are millions of census blocks across the United States, and each one generally contains between 600 and 3,000 people. Perhaps even worse, ISPs can count a census block as served in some cases where they don't provide any broadband in the block. That's because the FCC tells ISPs to report where they could offer service without an extraordinary commitment of resources. An ISP could thus count a census block as served if it's near its network facilities, but in practice, ISPs have charged homeowners tens of thousands of dollars for line extensions like they've tried to do here. And that mapping system is ripe for abuse. So what we've done here is now the ISPs must submit polygons. They must submit geospatial data that shows exactly where they serve. And the FCC order says, we require all fixed providers to write broadband coverage polygons depicting the area where they actually have broadband-capable networks, and make fixed broadband service available to end-user locations. The filings must reflect the maximum download and upload speed actually made available in each area, the technology used to provide the service, and the differentiation between residential-only, business-only, or residential and business broadband services. Fixed providers in the new collection must submit a broadband coverage polygon for each combination of download speed, upload speed, and technology, where fixed providers offer different maximum speeds to residential business customers. Even if using the same network facilities, they must file separate polygons where the offered speed varies by location or distance from network facilities. Fixed providers must submit separate polygons to reflect those differing maximum offered speeds. Now, ISPs could still count homes that aren't currently connected to the network, but the FCC has also tightened the criteria for doing so. ISPs may only count an area as served if the ISP has a current broadband connection, or it could provide a connection within 10 business days of a customer request and without an extraordinary commitment of resources or construction costs exceeding an ordinary service activation fee. So the order continues. So the only thing that's different here is they're not going to be requiring the ISPs to submit pricing data. And I think that's probably wrong. But overall, this plan has gotten some praise from some of the critics of the chairman. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. And if we get better maps of who and what and where and how things are served. And I think this is good, even in the small community I live in, because in order to get high speeds I want here, that is on the scale that I really was looking for, was extraordinarily expensive. I would have to hit the lotto really to make it happen. You know, it's summer. We're outside. We're enjoying the weather. But sometimes it's just too hot. And this August, there's 10 new science fiction fantasy novels to check out. This is an article by the Verge. And I'm always looking for new authors and new books. And looks like a good offering selection here. One of the most interesting one is by Joel Dane called Cry Out. And I want to read that one. One called The Dragon Republic that looks good. There's one called The Echo Chamber that's kind of exciting as well, talking about an addicting social media platform that brings the country to the brink of collapse. So all kinds of good stuff here from a science fiction standpoint. If that's your genre like it is mine, link is up in the show notes. The FTC is warning consumers that claimants will get nowhere near $125 cash payout. And here's the reason why. Only $31 million, a tiny fraction of the $700 million settlement, is earmarked for cash payments. That's amazing. That means the fine wasn't big enough. So only $31 million has been set aside for any of us, which is almost all of us, that have been affected by Equifax. There instead, the FTC is encouraging claimants to choose the free credit monitoring option instead, because they say there's absolutely no way everyone is getting $125. So it's not clear why the parties involved only set aside $31 million for those of us that were affected, despite knowing how many customers are affected. As one comment on the FTC website said, the court and Equifax knew there were 147 million claimants. Why offer $125 million per claim and set aside only $31 million? Did someone forget to do the math? And that in itself is pretty incredible. So Equifax not brought to the knees and so on and so forth, as they should have been. Hey, NASA chief says Moon 2024 plans won't rob funds for the space station. They say they will not cannibalize the International Space Station, or the agency science mission to pay for exploring the moon. We all know going to the moon is not cheap. The director told a crowd of over 800 people at an International Space Station Research and Development Conference in Atlantis. He says, if you cannibalize science, if you cannibalize the International Space Station, you will never achieve the end state you desire. And, of course, this came after the president's original 2019 budget, which proposed cutting funding for the space station to improve lunar exploration. Bridenstine went on to say that an amendment to the 2020 budget request for an additional $1.6 billion appears to have been successful. We got the money, and it didn't come from any part of NASA. The largest chunk of that money, $1 billion, would go towards the development of one or more human-rated landers capable of touching down on the lunar surface. You can't get to the moon without a lander. Developing a lunar lander would eventually help in the development of a lander for the red planet. How about a lander that you can leave there and it starts building a settlement on the moon? Let's do that, right? Let's start landing stuff on the moon to build a permanent settlement on the moon. That would be exciting. And more space news. There's a 3D map of the Milky Way, and it's pretty amazing. It's the best view of our galaxy's warped, twisted shape. And looking at this, it is an interesting view. I'll have a link up to this. And of course, the Milky Way is a spiral galaxy comprised of a bar-shaped core region surrounded by a flat disk of gas, which is about 120,000 light years wide. And what's amazing about this, and I don't think I knew this, or maybe I did you know that our solar system is only located 27,000 light years from the galactic center? Well, that's interesting. Of course, one light year is the distance light travels in a year, about 6 trillion miles. But still, we're relatively close to the, what's this? Someone's trying to connect to my computer. Block, block, block. Anyway, one light year is a distance. 27,000 light years from the galactic core. So link will be up in the show notes. All right, there's a good article here. Electrify America will use robots to charge self-driving EVs. It's developing a pilot charging station in San Francisco. You know, what they really need to do, if they're going to have electric charging stations around, they need to be able to let that robot charge the vehicle, and then the vehicle needs, once it's charged, needs to be automatically moved from the spot so that another car can be pulled up and charged. That's a big problem. People leave their vehicles on chargers for hours and hours and hours, denying other people the ability to charge their car. That's what we really need. Or we need more charging stations in all parking lots in America. That's how you get to mass utilization of electric vehicles. The Hubble is still in operation. Remember the Hubble? The Hubble spots WASP-121b, a scorching hot heavy metal planet, and it's snuggled up close to a star that's hotter than our own sun. Gravitational forces are doing a number on the exoplanet, stretching it into the shape of an American football. The planet's upper atmosphere hits a toasty 4,600 degrees. That's hotter than a face-melting guitar solo. But these aren't the only wild features Hubble saw. Hubble saw something stranger, and it's all outlined in this in the show notes for this statement that NASA made, talking about some of the stuff Hubble has seen lately, along with some new images. So won't go into details. Link will be up for you to check out. How many of you got Android TV? Android TV is pretty cool. I like Android TV. Did you know you can get Hulu on Android TV? Yep, of course, along with a lot of other stuff. So if you want to know what's available on Android TV, all you got to do is link up to the show notes I've got here, and it lists all the different types of channels that are available, or networks, or basically stuff you can plug in, like your HBO and so forth. Facebook has said, or announced, that it has removed faked accounts that says are tied to the Saudi government. The people behind the accounts posed as new outlets and criticized rival nations. Of course, Facebook's been under fire for not doing enough to combat misinformation. And they don't say how many they removed, but they've also removed accounts from Russia and Iran. But the company typically stops short of linking or basically taking down fake accounts associated with the government. And the government of Saudi Arabia didn't previously respond, but they said overall Facebook pulled down 217 Facebook accounts, 144 Facebook pages, 5 Facebook groups, and 31 Instagram accounts, and said were tied to Saudi Arabia government. Those accounts spent $108,000 on Facebook and Instagram ads while ranking up more of the followers. Facebook said about 1.4 million accounts followed at least one of these Facebook pages. And the social network removed these accounts for coordinated inauthentic behavior, which means they misled others about who they were and the purpose behind the account. Separately, Facebook found another network of fake accounts tied to a United Arab Emirates and Egypt. In those cases, the social network removed 259 Facebook accounts, 102 Facebook pages, 5 Facebook groups, and 4 Facebook events, and 17 Instagram accounts. So the battle continues to battle fake news and other activities. Are you looking for a laptop? You got a very limited budget? Did you know there's some $100 laptops out there? Yes, $100 laptops. The Lenovo N22, the Samsung Chromebook, the Acer C720, which is another Chromebook, the Dell Chromebook 11.6, it's available, on the Dell Chromebook 11-inch. All these are available for under $100. And Chromebooks are pretty nice, able to use for a multitude of purposes for the person that doesn't do a lot of heavy lifting. Are you a fan of Doctor Who? Doctor Who will stream on HBO Max. A new streaming service is coming in the spring of 2020. So that's cool. So Doctor Who will be streaming exclusively on HBO Max next year. CNET sister site TV Guide reports Thursday all 11 seasons will be coming to platform in spring of 2020 when Warner Media's new streaming services launch. What is HBO Max? I have HBO something, but I didn't think it was called HBO Max. Also coming to HBO Max are Friends, Game of Thrones, Sex and the City, The Sopranos, Veep, Gossip Girls, Sesame Street movies, including Wonder Woman, Fantastic Beasts, and Where to Find Them. Shows from the CW network like Pretty Liars, Pretty Little Liars, Batwoman, Riverdale spinoff will also be on HBO Max. And the CW winds down its streaming deal with Netflix. Have you got one of those buttons from Amazon? So if you're dying to test out the features of the Amazon Dash button, it's now or never. Amazon said Thursday will turn off the capabilities of all its Dash buttons worldwide by August 31st. I'd like to go buy some of those once they're turned off and just stick them in weird places and see if people push the buttons. So they stopped selling the buttons in February. They're probably a collector's item on eBay. I never wanted one, but now all of a sudden I'm thinking about, man, maybe I should buy some because they're probably going to be collector's items someday. Intel launches its 10th gen Ice Lake chips, pushing hard on graphics for notebook PCs. Intel's 11 new Ice Lake chips are betting big on graphics. Intel claims that its new 10th gen core family launched Thursday will offer the best integrated graphics experience of any thin and light notebook PC. Intel began setting up Ice Lake expectations in May, positioning its first mass market 10 nanometer parts as improvements for the notebook PC as a whole, including AI, communications, and I/O. The overarching message is new, a new process technology, a new CPU core, a new graphics engine, along with new advancements in communications and I/O. And there's a lot of details here, but the bit of sticker shock. These are going to be a little bit expensive. And Intel says that more than 35 notebooks built around Ice Lake microprocessors are being sold along existing Whiskey Lake and Amber Lake notebooks beginning this holiday season. There's still more to come. We'll see what happens with Intel's next-gen Tiger Lake chip due in 2020 or the Comet Lake chip that's part of a recent leaked roadmap. But there's information on how to read the chip's speed and all that in the show notes and some rough pricing, anywhere from $281 to $426 and for the chip itself. So they give you a little detail. Not that any of you are building laptops by hand. Google is testing a Play Pass subscription service for premium apps and games. Apple Arcade may finally have some competition here. And we know subscription services are the rage these days, as Google is the latest company to get on the action. The leaked screenshots that Android Police received from a reader show some of the details of the service. And they sound extremely similar to the upcoming Apple Arcade subscription. Customers pay a $4.99 fee for unlimited access to a catalog of premium apps and games without any ads, and all of the in-app purchases unlocked. So, interesting move here. I don't do this, I don't game, but for those of you who do, maybe a way to save some money here. Comcast, their Xfinity Mobile offering, is now charging extra for HD streaming on unlimited plans. So if you want to stream HD, it's going to cost you an extra $20 a month if they want HD video on an unlimited data plan. The Comcast-owned wireless service announced it would add this fee over a year ago when it first began capping video resolution on unlimited plans to 480p. But until yesterday, customers could call and ask to have the limitation waived at no cost. There are two other caveats to Xfinity Mobile's unlimited data plan. Speeds are throttled after 20 gigs each month, of course, and hotspots are permanently limited to 600 kilobits per second. Those restrictions have already been in place, and there's no way to lift either. So, it's really, truly not unlimited. You just get throttled way down. So funny. Are they going to say unlimited? Say 20 gigs and then throttled. That's not unlimited. Netflix has some explaining to do. Apparently, it's being asked why it snuck a physical activity tracker onto some phones. And this managed alarm some Android users who noticed that the popular streaming app was detecting their physical motion. The company confirmed to The Verge that it was using this data as part of its test As part of a test, they determined whether it could find ways to better optimize streaming performance when customers were on the move. This included both everyday walking around and also schedule-oriented movements like a daily commute. Interesting. Wouldn't they know that the speed was varying? It's a little weird. This is something new that Google is introducing, and I think this is interesting for Pixels. Google will start using its text-to-speech technology for emergency calls on Pixels. The new feature will automatically describe the kind of emergency and exact address for first responders. So imagine, you're in a bank robbery. You got your phone. You can't call for 911, but there's going to be new buttons on your phone that will be labeled medical, fire, or police. Tapping the button will activate a text-to-speech feature that will read out a message informing the operator the caller is using an automated service, describing the kind of help the caller needs in the caller's current location. Google says the new feature is designed for situations which someone needs emergency services but can't verbally communicate with emergency call operator due to injuries, a dangerous situation, or a speech disability. This is smart. Very, very smart. So the new feature is set to roll out to Pixel phones in the United States in the coming months, with select Android devices set to go and get it as well. A little more about Star Trek. CBS Star Trek Picard. I guess CBS's Star Trek, they should say CBS Star. Picard is getting a prequel novel and comic series that'll lead directly into the TV show. So, of course, we know CBS is bringing back Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek Picard sometime next year on its streaming platform. Before it debuts, fans will be able to see what the character has been up to in a new comic series and novels, says StarTrek.com. Verizon CEO expects 5G to cover half the country by next year. And we'll see. We'll see how good this speed really is. The comments follow Verizon's expansion of its 5G service to four additional cities, areas of nine cities, which include Atlanta, Detroit, Indianapolis, Washington, D.C. As of yesterday, Verizon aimed to roll out the service to more than 30 cities by the end of the year. They include Dallas, Boston, San Diego, and Phoenix. And of course, there's not that many 5G phones either, which are still pretty expensive. On the other end of the spectrum, a budget 10.2-inch iPad could arrive this year. Apple is reportedly going to launch a new budget iPad this year, budget in the sense that it would be slightly more affordable than premium options in its current tablet lineup. The new 10.2-inch iPad is expected to release by the third quarter. You should be releasing the existing 9.7-inch iPad in the company's tablet lineup. No information has been available. However, Apple's traditionally released iPads in October, with less premium models being updated at different times. For example, the 2019 iPad Air and iPad Mini were launched back in March. There have been a few reports about a new pad with a 10.2-inch display so far, but nothing concrete has turned up. Amazon is going to start fining sellers for shipping products in oversized packages. I get one of these once in a while. I get a big package and a small box inside, and I always wonder who packed this thing. So they're going to start fining sellers, and they've introduced new guidelines on it. I thought that Amazon packed most of that stuff. So if they don't stick to these guidelines, they would be looking at a fine, which would be in the form of a $1.99 surcharge that they would have to pay. Amazon's going to incentivize adhering to the guidelines by offering a dollar credit to sellers for every item that's within guidelines of its frustration-free packing program. All right. Lyft, boy, oh boy. Lyft has pulled its e-bike fleet from San Francisco. That's one thing I saw when I was in New York. Bikes, 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 more bikes, scooters, bikes, bikes, bike lanes, scooter lanes, bike lanes, and no one in them. And I was talking with the Uber driver and says they don't pay attention to traffic rules. They just go where they want. He was complaining a lot about it. It was kind of funny. And but I did see a few people riding bikes, but it was just kind of weird. And traffic in Manhattan is bad as ever, but Lyft has pulled its e-bike fleet from San Francisco Bay Area after exploding batteries make them the hottest seat in town. Super Kelly Lessee bikes are providing quite atrocious, even though the biz insists they're really quite ferocious. That was what the folks at the Register wrote. But in one pic of an e-bike docked in an official station on a main road in San Francisco, the battery has burst apart and splatters its contents over the bike, sidewalk, and charging station. And there's been two other cases of battery. Well, these things sit out in the heat and get charged. There is going to be trouble. There's a great article over on Vice.com. And I only thought this happened overseas. But America has its own do-it-yourself phone farmers. And people are starting to build these phone farms, and they're trying to make a little bit of money across the United States, and folks have been buying dozens or hundreds of phones to generate revenue so they can afford some extra household goods, cover a bill, buy a case of beer, even more income without driving for Uber. Motherboard spoke to 8 people who run farms of various sizes, most of whom are located in the United States. Phone farming just sucked me in. One farmer goes by the handle Goat City and runs about 100 phones in Virginia. Typically, you don't get paid for watching or reading an advertisement on the internet, but an ecosystem of websites and app flip that idea in its head with a marketing strategy called incentivized traffic. App developers take advertisements or other content that companies want to get in front of an attentive audience and pay that audience to watch or interact with them. This can be perfectly legitimate business. There's nothing wrong with someone deciding to be compensated for attention by watching an advertisement, but what if you're running 100 phones? Last year, NBC Universal launched an app called Watchback, which gives users a chance to win $100 in exchange for watching TV shows in hopes of creating new fans for its programming. Other apps like Perk give viewers points for watching trailers and shows that can be exchanged for valuable goods. And a lot of fraud going on here. The phone farmers Motherboard talked to aren't responsible for many of those ad requests, but they still take advantage of this ecosystem. Rather than actually watch ads, these phone farmers use as many as 100 phones and sometimes automate the process to make it seem like someone is watching the ads in order to generate income. An individual who was 20 years old made nearly $2,000 a month phone farming back in 2017. He told Motherboard in a phone call in the 8th or 9th grade, he found one of the apps popular with farmers and started running it on his main phone. Slowly over the years, he built up his farm, expanding to more and more devices. On his YouTube channel, The Tech Slugs, he made videos explaining his progress along the way. He says you really can't compare it to a job because of how little he needed to interact with the phones. Other phone farmers said they made hundreds of dollars a month from passively running apps on their phones. Goat City said they pulled in $700 to $800 a month recently. Another farm with the username Call Me Don Cheeto said their farm made $7 a day, working out to more than $200 a month. And so people are making money by running these farms. And the profits can run wildly, but this is a pretty interesting in-depth article about how that's done. Have a few phones laying around? Yeah, maybe make 50 cents a day. Link will be up in the show notes. The FTC antitrust probe of Facebook scrutinized its acquisitions. They're apparently looking at who Facebook has acquired, and they're trying to see if the social media giant bought companies to neutralize possible rivals. Isn't that why you acquire companies sometimes? The tech giants acquired about 90 companies over roughly the last 15 years, and is it against the law to buy a company to try to stifle competition? I thought that sometimes you take players off the table by buying them. Interesting. So here's a little information. Oops, what's going on here? Jeff Bezos sold $2 billion of Amazon stock after a 4% stake transfer. Mackenzie Bezos is officially Amazon Incorporated's second largest individual shareholder. About 19.7 million shares are now registered in 49-year-old Mackenzie's name, according to regulatory filings detailing stock sales by her ex-husband. The transfer is a rare disclosure for a divorce whose financial terms have otherwise been shielded by the public. Bezos sold 968,000 shares for about $1.8 billion between June and July as part of his stock sale, plan. And she holds about $37 billion worth of stock, making her the 23rd richest person on the Bloomberg Billionaire Index. The value of her stake has fallen by $1 billion since April when the settlement was first disclosed. Bezos 55, the founder and chief executive officer of the world's largest online retailer, retains a 12% stake worth $109 billion and remains the world's wealthiest person. So that little foray into infidelity, $37 billion. GoDaddy has hired former Expedia president Aman Bhutani as the new CEO. Scott Wagner has stepped down due to health reasons. So this is an interesting move. We'll see what happens with GoDaddy as he takes over the leadership of this show's primary sponsor. Final show tonight. There's an article in Financial Times, how London became a test case for using facial recognition in democracies. How many cameras do you think there are in London? 47,000 cameras are in London. That is an incredible number. Wow. That is an amazing number. So anyway, they got a great article here about facial recognition, what they've done, how it's worked, how they've used it in police actions and so forth. A very interesting article in Financial Times. Of course, it crosses over into some of the stuff that has happened. It's being done in China as well. All right, folks, we're going to bring the show to a close and be back here for two regular shows next week. Probably do Facebook Live on both of those. I'm not fit for camera viewing right now, to be honest with you. But I do thank you for listening today. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. Thank you for your ongoing support of GoDaddy. I want you to make sure you get over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Grab a hosting account, domain name. Use that 30% discount code on a new product purchase. But again, it's been my pleasure. geeknews@gmail.com. And for those of you, I know we've gotten a few one-off insider donations. It is greatly appreciated. Good timing. Little crazy month here, tight on finances because some money didn't get transferred, but that's all right. It's the way it happens sometimes. But any donations are appreciated. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. Please take care. We'll see you next time here on Geek News Central. Take care. Aloha.